514.
Newsmakers talk to Jared Serbu.
Captain David Dermanelian is the Coast Guard's Chief Information Security Officer.
When we start talking about Android and the iOS devices, without injecting risk on our infrastructure, we're able to allow the end users now to access their personal social media sites as well as their personal banking or otherwise sites. That's an additional bonus, if you will.
Hear the entire interview online at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Check your thrift savings plan numbers every day at federalnewsradio.com. Find out how your funds closed and how they're doing for the year. It's all right there on our homepage, federalnewsradio.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Carrie O'Connor, who is a program manager for the Sounding Board from the U.S. Department of State. Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm doing fine.
Well, we got a funny topic today. We're going to talk about the Web 2.0, but not about IPv6 and dots and dashes and firewalls. Talk about it from a management perspective and see maybe how the Web 2.0 has not only changed how we use computers, but how computers use us and how people interact with computers and some of the best practices for this big change in technology that for an old geezer like me, it's certainly been a big change. But enough about me and my years and years in this business. Let's talk a little about you, Carrie, and give the listeners a little perspective on how you wound up working for the Department of State, please.
Great. Well, I took the Foreign Service exam about 11 years ago. And I joined the State Department 10 years ago on September 10th, 2001.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
It was an
Can't
interesting
forget that
day. Exactly. I've served in Ghana. That was my first tour. And I served in Morocco. And I just sort of followed my intellectual curiosity about technology and what it could do. I started out as an economic officer. So I was going to be working on economic policy and trade policy and other wonky, you know, topics. But I finally wanted to know what it was like just to get things done, you know, be in management and get concrete results.
You know, I had a CTO from a local company, and he had a degree in English.
Yeah.
Vince Cerf, father of the internet, has a degree in philosophy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it all has to do with a tool, and, you know, you carry a toolbox with you, and you don't have to be a plumber to use a 9/16 wrench, but you need to use it occasionally. And,
exactly.
And that's what it is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and so I've just sort of been, it started off with me reverse engineering some Microsoft Outlook, you know, forms for my management purposes in Morocco, and just sort of learned as I went about technology.
Like you had your car in the garage and you just had to put that starter in it to drive to Florida. So you get some wrenches and you did
exactly.
It. Yeah, except it was with Microsoft Outlook. I guess the start of this conversation came with Richard Boley and his initiative with Diplopedia, the Department of State.
Right.
And he told me about something called the Sounding Board. And maybe mm-hmm. some of our listeners know about the Sounding Board and some don't. Maybe you can expand a little bit upon that, please.
Sure. Well, in February 2009, Secretary Clinton came in and had her first town hall with employees. And she really challenged us to engage in this energetic and collaborative debate to make the State Department the best-run agency possible, to be the best stewards of taxpayer dollars. And so she said, there's going to be this website where I want you all to put up your ideas about how to manage ourselves more effectively. And I remember going, wow, that's really cool. I wonder who's going to do that. Because I'd been studying up on IBM and their innovation jams and how organizations use social media. And I thought, after all the work that e-diplomacy has done, building this this culture of collaboration with wikis and blogs, I said, you know, we're ripe for this at the department. And so that's how it started.
you know, Department of State, the oldest federal department, you know, and they're kind of jumping on the edge. And wait a minute, a lot of your folks are not even anywhere near the United States. And so Hillary Clinton decided, no, I don't care. We're going to jump into this kicking and screaming. There must have been some screaming.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's a culture change. But when you look at the imperative, you know, we've got 271 embassies, missions, and consulates worldwide. We've got 50 domestic offices. We manage relations with, it used to be 189 countries. Now it's 190 since the last time I touted that statistic. Yay for South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work as an organization in the equivalent languages and currencies and time zones. And so if you really want to get employees all together, it's really difficult. And you've got to use the sort of cutting edge communication technologies that we have available.
You know, I'm a lot older than you, and I can remember some New Yorker cartoon, you know, where there's a suggestion box, and it goes right into a shredder.
Exactly.
And so, and this is my old school way of, you know, Harvard MBA, wear a suit and tie to work and show up early and all that stuff. And ideas, I got all the ideas around here, sister. You just sit down.
Exactly.
But I think what's going on in the State Department is maybe in 2009, maybe the management's saying, maybe we don't have all the answers. Maybe someone sitting in Japan may have the answer for something going on in who knows where, in D.C. or in Brazil. And I think this makes management kind of unsure themselves, I would think.
Right. And when you enter in a conversation with people, whether it's around a conference table or virtually, you know, you have to set expectations. You have sort of governance, you have an agenda, you kind of know where the boundaries are. And the part about building an ideation program, we call them, is setting up that governance. You know, this is how we're going to have the conversation. And you have a moderator, just like you would have somebody running a meeting in a conference room. The thing is that you can participate at any time.
So it's not really like a suggestion box and you take the ideas and throw them up in the air. What it is, it's a disciplined way to creatively collaborate on ideas rather than just a haphazard way.
Right. And if you're new to social media, you might take umbrance with the organized and disciplined. You know, it does seem very undisciplined on its face when you first experience it, you know, that someone can tell management that they think this needs to be done is really difficult. But I think when you look at, you know, right now we've got almost 3,000 ideas. We've been up and running for 2.5 years. We've got 21,900 comments. We have over 40,000 users. I mean, the State Department is somewhere around 65,000 employees. And we've got 40,000 of them who have participated in this conversation. It's enormous.
So one strategy for successful implementation of Web 2.0 for Web 2 application government is you may want to start off with accepting new ideas and have a structured way to receive those ideas.
Exactly.
And not have people be fearful of coming up with unusual or strange thoughts or concepts, because who would have thought you'd walk around with a phone and browse the net?
Right.
Who would have thought of that?
Right. And as information is moving around the globe so fast and furious and things are changing so quickly, you know, we'll have something happen and people will sit down and write an idea right away. Like, this just struck me, you know, I think there's a better way to do this. And that's what we want. We want their ideas.
I was in my office on one Saturday over the summer, and I thought about a kid I played football with in high school, and I looked him up in LinkedIn, and I hit him, and he was in the middle of Africa somewhere.
Yeah.
He was in some godforsaken country. It was 120 degrees, and it was within 10 minutes. Bang, hey, how you doing? What's up?
Yeah.
And I think just because you're in the Department of State doesn't mean you have to be limited in communication with people. Now, there's different time zones you have to worry about and security you have to worry about. But I think the challenge is accepting ideas and interacting with all employees and not denigrating anyone's position because, oh, that's just Carrie. She's in the middle of nowhere in Peru. What possible idea can she have?
Right.
It's not valid anymore.
Right. And with foreign service officers changing, you know, jobs every 1, 2 to 3 years, you never really know in the Department of State where your expertise is. And I think that's one of the major benefits of social media inside of an organization is expertise location. The people find what it is that they want to talk about and what they're experts in. They will find those conversations.
Three things I want to hit on here: risks, challenges, and remediation strategies for adopting Web 2.0 in the federal government. Let's face it, there's going to be some risk involving here with sharing information. I think one aspect of management in this is going to have to be indication of people knowing what risks are involved in sharing what kind of information.
Right, absolutely. So risk mitigation, one of the things is have a good governance. We have guidelines for publishing ideas. You know, it has to obviously be professional. We talk about the how of foreign policy, not the what or the why, because that's not really in the purview of what the secretary wanted us to talk about. We don't talk about security vulnerabilities. You know, there's a time and a place to talk about those things. And in this forum, that's not it. You know, so what I do as moderator is make sure that the conversation stays in bounds.
I kind of think around the house, my wife picks out the color and I put the paint in the wall. I don't check out the color. Yeah. Not my job, Mom. And I don't care about whatever color
right.
it is. It could be.
But
some...
what's the most effective way to put that paint on the wall?
Yeah, that's all I worry about.
Because there's a lot of variance
and
there.
The paint's going to change.
Yeah.
It could be green this year and then yellow next year or something.
Yeah, and if you misapplied it on top of, you know, some wallpaper, that lovely green paint's going to chip off.
Yeah.
It's a great metaphor.
So when management says a flax-colored sunroom, that's
yeah.
what you do, and no matter what is under it, you have to do it correctly. So there's risks and challenges there. And so with the sounding board, they assigned a moderator mm-hmm. to bring in the comments, and then you take and you assign those to different agencies, different divisions, or what happens with the comments or the
Well, you know, there are a lot of different models in how you run this. The State Department is a very sort of decentralized organization. We have so many different moving parts and expertise that the way we run it is management listens. They really do. And they take the ideas and they listen to employees and they organically decide to adopt or not adopt. And they give feedback. We've probably got 400 or 500 comments from managers.
Mm, organics. Boy, I like that talk. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, talk more about maybe remediation strategies with social networking and how to interact with different people in different time zones. And what about some of the methodologies for measuring outcomes of some of these social networking initiatives? You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Kerry O'Connor, Program Manager for the Sounding Board at the U.S. Department of State.
Vacation time is just around the corner. Ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. Ackerman offers the latest technology like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. Cancer, the idea, just the word, is scary. So imagine the emotions if your doctor told you you might have lung cancer. What do you do? Where do you turn?
Lung cancer is a very serious consideration, and I think that when it comes to choosing where to go or who to see, you want to see somebody who deals with lung cancer on a daily basis.
Dr. David Midtoon is a lung specialist at Mayo Clinic. He says making that decision should be done carefully, but without undue delay. Why? Catching a cancer early is often a key to successful treatment. Plus,
the question of cancer is a pretty heavy one to carry, and they're going to want to know sooner rather than later, do I have it? If I have it, what stage is it? How advanced is it? What do I do about it?
And getting those answers can help provide some peace of mind. For more information, talk to your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
To defend our nation effectively, missile defense must be affordable, available, and reliable. Lockheed Martin's team for ground-based mid-course defense is the right team to meet this challenge. Our proven performance-based logistics capabilities have been refined on more than 50 programs and honored by 9 Secretary of Defense awards. increasing confidence and readiness while reducing sustainment cost is all a question of how, and it is the how that Lockheed Martin delivers. For ground-based mid-course defense, the Lockheed Martin team has the know-how for success, the people, the processes, the performance. Together, we have built strong government-industry partnerships, led the industry in performance-based logistics, and built systems that have achieved more than 50 intercepts and tests in combat, assuring affordability, availability, and reliability for ground-based mid-course defense is all a question of how, and it is the how that Lockheed Martin delivers.
Attention all military, active duty, retired, and all authorized family members. Your Quantico Marine Corps-based commissary is on the road and bringing your hard-earned commissary benefit directly to you. This on-site sale will take place at Fort AP Hill, August 18th and 19th. Come out and experience savings that average more than 30% on all your groceries. For more information, visit commissaries.com. And remember, your commissary, it's worth the trip.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Kerry O'Connor, who's a program manager for the Sounding Board at the U.S. Department of Success of U.S. Department of State. I keep thinking of success. I mean, this is an example of a successful Web 2.0 initiative, isn't
Thanks,
it?
Thanks, John.
I mean,
love
it. Overwhelming. It's like success, Department of Success.
I'm going to take that back, U.S. Department of Success.
Hey, Hillary Clinton, let's call this Department of Success.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's really what it is. I mean, I hear so many bad things. Oh, woe is me. We can't do this. We can't do that. We don't have the budget for this. We don't have the budget for that. Well, here's a story where you accomplish something within your department to help collaborate and share ideas, and it works.
Yeah. You know, did I mention we have a piece of software, we have 1.5 full-time positions working on this, and we've reached out to 40,000 employees. Like, if that's not lean management, I'm not really sure what is.
Well, you go to ExxonMobil or go to Ford Motor Company and say, hey, we like 1 on 40,000. You like it so far?
Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of ratios that the people in the commercial world like to hear. In the commercial world, they talk about top-down management.
I mean, right.
The State Department has a top-down management. Hillary Clinton comes in and says, bang, you all wear green shoes and you have to comply. I mean, it comes down from the top. And I guess that's a concern that many managers have is, well, oh my goodness, you know, the social networking is going to come in. I'm going to lose control of all my employees. You know, I mean, if you look at it, though, telephones came into offices and managers didn't lose control. I mean, email came in, managers didn't lose control. IM came in, managers didn't lose control. So people shouldn't be threatened by social networking and Web 2.0. They should embrace it and use it to achieve the goals.
Absolutely. And, you know, folks are talking about things in their office, whether you know it or not. And when you get their ideas out there and people start talking about it and bouncing it around, like, I think our senior managers, they do read all the ideas that employees put forth, and they have their finger on the pulse of the employees of the Department of State in a way that they never have before. And that's, you know, we've, you know, what is management, right? I've been reading a lot of the management gurus in the Wall Street Journal and Harvard Business Review and stuff. And management is really about identifying opportunities and making decisions and building teams and coordinating activities, right? So absolutely, social media can play a role in doing some of those things without threatening sort of discipline.
You know, I've done a lot of public speaking. And they talk about openers and eye contact and all this technical stuff. But the best thing to do is to understand exactly what your audience is going through before you walk into that room. The more you know about that audience, the more successful you're going to be. And the same thing with management, I think. The more you know about your staff, the objectives and their goals and their challenges in that area, the more effective manager you're going to be. And guess what? You can have a tool with collaboration that gives you the eyes to mm-hmm. what's going on, not only here, but remotely as well.
Absolutely. And one of the hard things, I mean, you talked about metrics. It is really hard to measure, to get that real hard numbers on return on investment. And I try to look to the private sector to see how they do this stuff. But again, it's hard, right? Because we don't measure profits or revenue. But in private sector organizations, they say when they engage employees, their profits go up 20%. So you get a 20% boost in productivity by doing exactly what you just described, you know, knowing your audience, engaging them, saying, here's the paint color, right? We're going to put on the wall and we want to make sure we do it right so it lasts.
How have you done it down the street? How
exactly.
have you done it in this climate? Well, what in a high humidity? What
right.
about in a dangerous situation? What about
right.
in a politically unstable situation?
Exactly. And the other thing that we've learned from some private sector organization, McKinsey just came out with a report about they call it the rise of the networked enterprise. Web 2.0 finds its payday. And they talked about companies that are using Web 2.0 internally, only for employees. They do it with their customers or they do it with sort of outside suppliers and partners. And for those who use it internally, like the sounding board, they see a 77% increase in the speed in which people can access the knowledge that they need to get stuff done. They reduce communication costs. They increase access to subject matter experts. They decrease travel costs, right? We had a conference that we had to cancel. That conference was going to tackle some problems in logistics. But I can use the software and create a special community for all logisticians around the world to talk about how more successfully we can do procurement. You know, and I don't have to have you all flying across the world sitting in a conference room in order to get that. And that's really powerful.
And your 3,000 ideas, you've shared this methodology with other folks in the government. There's a whole community of interest for that, is that right?
Yep, there's an interagency community of practice on ideation. The first agency to work up an employee ideation tool was TSA, and they were running for about 2 years before we were, and they were an enormous resource for us for best practices. And then, of course, when we got started, other agencies were like, hey, state, how do you do it? And we go, we do it this way, but you really want to talk to TSA. And so the White House helped us coordinate this working group where we can all share best practices. And you can go to howto.gov under their social media section and look up ideation. And we've got all the how-tos for how the different agencies do it, how they do their, there is a business process for collecting ideas, vetting ideas, you know, crowdsourcing doesn't always give you the gold. You have to pan for it. You have to look for it.
How would you differentiate brainstorming from crowdsourcing?
Crowdsourcing is when you take an action on a piece of social media based on your self-interest, and that creates value, right? So I'm thinking of Twitter. Everybody just has this need to share information, and then you can look on aggregate as everybody acts in their own self-interest, and you have this value creation. I think you need a pretty big crowd to do that. Brainstorming is more... everybody's putting their ideas out there, and some work, some don't. You know, maybe the whole idea that comes out isn't something that you can implement, but it shapes a decision.
Crowdsourcing, brainstorming. I mean, look at the position that TSA was put in. Okay, you folks get together and make sure the airports are more secure. They couldn't go to the library and look up a book on how to do it. This wasn't done before.
Yeah.
Okay, here's new challenges. How about this powder, white stuff? You got to figure out how to... Well, there was no book on, oh, if you find powdery stuff in your mail, this is what you do. They were thrown against the wall, so, hey, figure this out. Come back. You don't figure it out, you're fired.
And
so they
what
had
better
to
way to
reach
learn?
Out to other one.
Yeah, what better way to learn than from your employees who are on the front lines?
And so I'm just thinking about, you remember, for years, they found all stuff in the mail, and no one can know what's going on unless you reach out and find out what's going on in other post offices and areas and what's best. How do you test for this? How do you test for that? It's just, I guess the world is so dynamic and changing. You can't wait 2 years for someone to publish a book on what happens if you find white powder in your mail and you do X, Y, and Z. And here's a bet. You can't.
No. But what you can do is create sort of an archival repository. So we have still all of these 3,000 ideas, and people can go back and search and see what didn't work. They can get, there's one of the big benefits of the sounding board is institutional capacity building. There are employees who just started, you know, I think the statistic may be a little outdated, but 50% of our employees have been hired in the past 10 years.
Wow.
That's a lot. You know, 50% of these employees don't know how the department truly works and what's been tried before and what hasn't been tried before. And so this way it's also a succession strategy, right? As our senior managers are leaving, they write their wisdom about why this isn't a good idea, why it didn't work. And next time somebody has this idea, they can go back to the sounding board and they can search it. And they can go, well, have times changed?
And looking at it from 40,000 feet, we see the baby boomers maybe moving out towards retirement. And what about all that information, that institutional wisdom that they've accumulated by making mistakes for 30 years? And no, this is not how you do it. This is the best way to do that. And it can be shared. Now, this is a, I guess it's a tool for collecting, kind of like a collecting rain in the desert. You got to collect the rain and you're collecting ideas here. Only this time you're saving them for future use.
Right. You know, social media is really the yin to a more disciplined yang, right? If you have enterprise architecture, if you have business processes, those are your bricks. The people are the mortar, and social media makes the mortar happen.
Well, I never thought we'd talk about Taoism, but after the break, we'll talk about yin yang, right, wrong, up and down, the sun, the moon, all kinds of interesting things, and maybe talk about methodologies for measuring outcomes and effectiveness in Web 2.0 strategies. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Kerry O'Connor, who's the program manager for the Sounding Board at the U.S. Department of State.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Here's Dr. Ron Ross, Senior Computer Scientist and Information Security Researcher, NIST, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by McAfee.
That's where the real vision for the future kicks in. We've got to be able to have the systems and the infrastructure churn at a rate that even though the systems have been penetrated, the adversary's time on target is so limited that they can't do any damage.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
The rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements make protecting citizens' confidential information increasingly challenging. McAfee is the standard throughout federal, military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to assuring federal networks remain resilient against the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, call 888-VIRUS-KNOW. Or go to McAfee.com/government.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The FBI has released its first ever mobile application. It's designed to help locate missing children. The FBI Child ID app lets parents store photos and vital information about their kids, so it's immediately available to pass on to authorities in the event a child goes missing. It also lets parents email photos directly to law enforcement. And it includes tips on what to do in the first hours after a child disappears. The iPhone version is out now. The FBI says other devices will be supported soon.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
With vacation time just around the corner, Ackerman Security can help keep families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center and switch your existing system at no cost and that great $18.95 rate. And Ackerman is the only company with a guaranteed response time. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to GEICO last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7222.
Binge drinkers' brains. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Images of the brains of binge drinkers indicates binge drinking thins the brain's prefrontal cortex, which handles things like paying attention, making decisions, and controlling impulses. At the University of Cincinnati, Tim McQueenie saw it in a pilot study of 29 weekend binge drinkers, ages 18 to 25. McQueenie says the amount of drinking during binges has an effect, too.
Those who had the most number of drinks per binge episode had the greatest thinning in the prefrontal cortex.
A binge is drinking five or more drinks at a time for males and four or more for females, and it's common among almost half of young adults. The study was presented at the Research Society on Alcoholism annual meeting. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Kerry O'Connor, Program Manager for the Sounding Board of the U.S. Department of State. And last time I said is U.S. Department of Success. I guess that's a subliminal message or something I'm trying to get to the audience. And my message is real simple, you know. You know, they didn't throw a lot of money at this. They didn't throw a lot of human beings. They just had a problem, and they figured out how to efficiently get information from 40,000 different people. I mean, that's so there are challenges there, and the challenges were met face-to-face. It's kind of like, you know, Julius Caesar the sword challenge. I overcame that challenge. Give me some of the challenges you had in starting off this program.
Well, you know, at first we weren't really sure what technology to use, but knowing my colleague Richard Bowley in his office of e-diplomacy, I said, look, we just got to use what we have, right? We've got blogs, so let's start it off like a blog. And we did that for a while, and it worked. We used movable type. But clearly, employees loved this program. They really wanted to share ideas, and it was hard to manage them just using a blog. So I think you really do need a purpose-built tool for this. And there's the market is huge. We use a software called Bright Idea. There's a lot of different tools out there that manage a business process of ideation. You collect it, you process it, you evaluate it. Some of them even have project tracking tools on the back end.
So there's a method to this. It's not just throw it up in the air and just grab stuff, huh?
I mean, I didn't want to break that myth for you, but but there actually is some discipline to it.
Yeah. And so one tool that you use is Bright Idea. You've mm-hmm. tested it. It seems to work for you.
Yep.
So if you are a federal IT professional and beating your head in the wall and your boss is pushing you to start trying to collaborate, mm-hmm. one approach might be to look at Bright Idea and take a look at the sound. I don't know if it's not accessible for outside the State Department.
Right. It's inside our firewall.
But I'm sure the folks at Bright Idea will give you a lot of ideas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you go to, again, the howto.gov, look at their social media and then look for ideation, you'll see other tools that other folks use. You have to kind of weigh what your requirements are. You know, we're a national security agency. We wanted this conversation inside our firewall. So we had to bring what is normally offered as a cloud service inside. And so there was a technological piece to this. And we had some great IT support for that. But you can go and buy these things on the cloud. Some of them are free. You know, there's the President's Save Award, OMB's Save Award. That's also ideation.
And so every agency that I know of is probably going to get their budget pulled back. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they're taught to be more collaborative with less money, and you have to be secure. And one compromise that you found in the area of challenges here is with Bright Idea, and that
yep.
seemed to work for you.
Yep.
Now, if you look at Movable Type and other like WordPress from 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, they've all changed and,
yep.
and moved up. And maybe WordPress may be a better solution for you. I don't know. And I don't know about security concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the folks on from vaccines.gov. And I said, well, what about security? He goes, we don't want security. We want everyone to know about vaccines.
Yeah.
In fact, the more people that sees this, the better. Start talking about it. Go out on 18th and K and tell people of vaccines.gov. So there's no security concerns there at all. Their idea was to give as much information as they can about vaccines
right.
to save lives, you know?
Right.
But every agency isn't like that. But some can take advantage of maybe a blog from WordPress, maybe the solution for an agency. I'm sure it's being discussed at howto.gov, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is. And I know that every agency runs their program a little differently. You know, we have what's called an open forum. You know, we have our guidelines for what you can talk about, but it's pretty open. Others will issue a specific challenge. You know, maybe they have a small entrepreneurial fund that they're willing to take your ideas and fund them. And that might be more rigorous. TSA also issues challenges to employees. So they have their open forum, but they might say, you know, what capability do you need to do X? And so we're looking, I think when we're going to grow from here, we're looking at how else we can use the software. The secretary launched a quadrennial diplomacy and development review. It's a big strategy paper. How do we make this living and breathing and actually part of our normal operations? Well, one tool we can use to make that happen is engage employees with social media.
And if you just look at the new employees coming into the federal government, coming into the Department of State, they are not going to be averse to using social networking to gain information.
Absolutely. And
if you look at search sites, I think Google's number one and YouTube is number two for people searching information.
Yeah.
How do I fix a flat tire in my car?
Right.
How do I paint a wall? They go to YouTube for the information. So your new employees may not want to go to the library and find a book on how to paint a wall. They may want to socially find out how to paint a wall, because that is going to have more value than maybe something on a shelf somewhere, because there's a trust factor there, isn't there?
And that's the thing that is management 1.0, right? This is what we need to explain to manager 1.0 people is... Somebody might have a question or a how-to, and they send you an email, and you send them back, and that's a one-to-one exchange. But if they post this idea or this question on a social media site like ours, and you post an answer, you know 40,000 people are using this tool. 6,000 people, if it's a popular entry, closely follow it.
And if it's searchable...
And if it's searchable, anybody can find the answer when they then later find themselves in a how-to situation. And it's just really, really powerful, much more powerful than that one-to-one email exchange.
Let me give you another example from my house in the kitchen. We bought a dishwasher 3 years ago. My wife is very smart. She went to Consumer Reports, kind of like a book on the shelf, and it said, 1, 2, 3, this is the best one out there. And we bought it. And after 4 years, it blew up. And so this time, so my wife, she goes to social networks and asks her friends on Facebook, what experiences, Carrie, have you had with this brand X, Y, and Z? And we bought a different brand, not because of Consumer Reports. We're not using Consumer Reports this time. We're using our trusted friends. And the same thing with the State Department is there's no book on this anyway. Even if you wanted a book on it, you're not going to find a book on this. So you're forced to trust your friends. But the new people coming in, the young people, are going to do that organically.
And that's what we're looking to twist the software to. Now we accept ideas, but maybe next time we want to solicit your best practices. You know, how did you manage this particular situation in public diplomacy at your embassy? And then that becomes a searchable repository. People can interact and talk to the person who originally did that, even though they're no longer, you know, in Shangri-La, they're now in Xanadu, right? But you can chase them down, find that expertise, find the best practice.
How would you take and... manage different ideas that come in? I mean, if you coordinate this, the Bright Idea has a tool for this, but there's got to be some human interaction and taking a look at an idea, suggestion, and trying to sign it or putting it in the vertical file, throwing it away. How do you do that?
Well, employees can vote on ideas. They can promote them. So we can see what are the more popular ideas, how quickly they're being interacted with, how many comments they've received. I can tell you which ideas are most contentious, which ideas are least contentious based on how folks have voted on them. I can tell you which comments are most helpful and least helpful according to employees. So it helps sift through the information. And for those ideas that are, you have to have a human eye, right? And those ideas that are hot, that are important, that are contentious, we farm those out and we ask the bureaus, hey, will you answer this? Will you consider this? And then they usually respond back. And there's a little tag that says this person is a subject matter expert. They know of which they speak.
So there is a human management concept included in this as well. It's not just all mechanical and topical.
When you talk about building trust, you know, this is really different. One manager, when we very first started at the very beginning, wrote this form letter in a blog. And we all know in social media in the outside world, we don't write so formally in a blog.
Exactly.
And so it's a different, you know, in order to build trust, you have to... This is an informal method of communication. We have our formal communication. We have our rules, our regulations, you know, our policies.
Diplomatic note means something in your world.
Exactly. It really, really does. But here, employees want to trust their managers, and they want the plain language. And we've learned over time how to interact with plain language with one another. And that's, I think, building up trust. It's building up institutional capacity and knowledge within the department.
Trust, great. We're going to take a quick break here. We can come back. We're going to give you my scientific nerd test to find out if you're really a card-carrying nerd or not, and talk more about the Web 2.0 and management challenges and strategies and how to efficiently try to absorb information from your employees to try to manage them better. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're talking with Carrie O'Connor, Program Manager for the Sounding Board of the U.S. Department of State.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com, TEKSystems.com.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Stephen Van Roekel is the new Federal Chief Information Officer. He says his experience has shown him how change can happen.
What I really saw at the FCC is that this notion of reimagining government in the context of the pace of innovation of private industry can be done in government. And it can be done in a way that actually saves money, saves resources. We were in lockstep with Vivek's team here on data center consolidation, our cloud-first policy, on using tools like TechStack.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's capacity services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Made in America, those words mean a lot. From uniforms to help desk support to office supplies, Ability One employees deliver quality, American-made solutions to our federal government. Ability One creates jobs for people who are blind or have other significant disabilities without relying on taxpayer subsidies. For quality products and services right here at home, contact AbilityOne.org. Because Made in America is more than a label. It's a promise kept to more than 47,000 Americans who are willing and able to work.
Coming to the Reagan Building, the first vendor-neutral predictive analytics conference for the government. Predictive Analytics World, September 12th and 13th. PAWGov.com. Featuring keynotes from Congressman Darrell Issa and Chairman of the Recovery Board Earl Devaney, along with case studies from government agencies. This September at the Reagan Building. Learn more at PAWGov.com. That's PAWGOV.com.
Join Alan Greenspan, the former chair of the Federal Reserve System, as he discusses the intersection of economics and IT at the Innovation Nation Forum, August 23rd at the D.C. Convention Center. Also there, the Merit Awards will recognize the best idea to use IT to improve government with a $50,000 cash prize. Shake IT up. Register at meritalk.com. That's MERITALK.com.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Carrie O'Connor, who's a program manager for the Sounding Board at the U.S. Department of State, a successful story of collaboration and Web 2.0, and it didn't cost a whole lot of money, did it?
It did not.
Before we do any more conversating, as they say in some movies, and mass communicating. Want to give you my patented tech survey to find out if you are really a card-carrying nerd. 10 simple questions.
All right.
Just for the value
Bring
of the
it.
Audience. Bring it on. Here it goes. Year of your first computer.
I would say it was sometime in the 80s, a Commodore 64.
Oh, a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
That's nerd points. That's
it
good.
Is. Thanks.
And year of your first cell phone.
2004.
That's a little late.
It is a little late. And it was through work, too. Losing, State Department.
You're losing points
Department
there.
Of Success.
Operating system at home?
Mac.
No Unix? No anything? Okay, that's
no,
okay.
Sorry.
Type of connection at home? Any fancy connection?
No, just DSL.
Yeah,
it's DC. It's what I get.
And the type of mobile phone you have?
I have a smartphone. An iPhone.
Okay. And how many apps?
About 10. Mm. Only one. I've been only been going for the productivity apps, but I do have Angry Birds.
You may have an angry manager. Angry Birds on that one. That's a little weak. Do you own a tablet device?
Yeah, I just bought a Kindle a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. And what social networking sites do you participate in besides the sounding board?
Facebook and LinkedIn. I have a Twitter account. I haven't really bought into it yet.
I haven't either.
But I do have a Google Plus account, so I think that gets me some points.
Yeah, it gets some points. Yeah, I have one tweet. 350 million tweets are sent a day. I have one. And the last book you read, is it electronic or paper?
I did both at the beach. I'm still learning my Kindle, so.
You're probably a middling nerd. You're not a card-carrying nerd, but you're a nerd wannabe, I think we
classify. What you do with a Kindle is you can copy your notes, and then you go onto Kindle's website, and you can see all your notes. And then you can copy them over into this thing called Evernote.
And it makes life easier for you.
It makes life easier for your notes. That's what I'm really excited about exploring.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense. We have been talking about Web 2.0, social networking, collaboration, the success that the Department of State had. And let's come in and recap some of this for our late listeners here. About 2009, you got a new boss,
yep.
Hillary Clinton. Everyone knows her. And she said, hey, we got to come up with a way to tap ideas from all these bright people we have here. And you start off with a blog, and then you move to something a little different. You saw a product called Bright Idea. When you were making the transition from a blog to this different type of software, tell me what kind of questions you asked. So, you know, maybe our listeners are going to be asking these questions maybe this week or next month or next quarter. And what are some of the considerations you had in selecting this tool you use?
Well, we went through the full federal government procurement process. We did a request for proposal. And what my colleagues and I did was made a complete list of features and functionality that we wanted to see out of the software. You know, from moderating it to voting on comments to, you know, will it fit in our IT environment? And we just compiled this list and we got more ideas from TSA and some of our interagency colleagues, and we threw out the request for proposal, and we got some hits. We evaluated them and we chose the best value awardee.
It wasn't the big dog like Posterous or WordPress it was completely different.
Yeah, completely different. And that's when I started to realize, you know, ideation is really new and it's hot. It's up and coming. There's a lot of companies that do it. We talked to IBM. We talked to AT&T. We talked to a bunch of different companies. I've talked to Hewlett Packard just to learn lessons about how they use it inside their organization. So this is the market's pretty good for finding the right tool.
We had Chris Kemp on about 6 months ago, and he was with NASA, and he came up with something called Nebula, and now he just started his own company. But I think organizations like TSA are presented with problems, and they've got to come up with something. And they don't have any money. Here, small budget, big headache, solve it.
Yeah.
You talked about TSA. And NASA, at one time, had the same situation. They had big, huge problems. They had all these photographs coming in from the different planets, and they had to crowdsource people to help figure out what was going on. And so he was creative in using all kinds of different solutions for solving data problems. And I think you almost have to be presented with a problem like this. With many of my listeners are presented with is – your budget's being reduced. You got to collaborate. You got to use every way to bring in new ideas. And how can you do it?
Yeah. So here's a quick story for you. Jeff Jarvis wrote this book, What Would Google Do? And he was talking about his book. And I said, okay, you know, Jeff Jarvis, it's really great. But what would Google do if every time it needed to make an IT investment, it had to do an OMB 300 exhibit? You know, and everybody chuckled. And he thought for a moment. He goes, you know, Google would use what it has. And when I look around the State Department and when times are going to get tough, we're going to use what we have. We have a lot of great IT tools on our network. We have a really strong IT workforce that has done really good work. Richard Bull's shop in eDiplomacy. We've got Diplopedia. It's the Wikimedia, right? It's open source. We've got blogs. We've got WordPress. We've got this tool, Bright Idea. We've got SharePoint. The next is going to be, how do we integrate these? You know, and we've also got a professional networking site that they've built out. How are we going to integrate all of these for knowledge sharing? That's the next step, the next challenge.
So there's a way to do it. If you're trying to paint a room and you got a corner to reach, you may not have to buy the ladder because you might have the funds to buy the ladder.
Right.
But you can get an extension for the roller and get it
build
up there.
Use an API, integrate with SharePoint. There's a lot of different things, you know, RSS feeds. There's a lot of ways that you can just build a front-end, you know, user interface to make these connections.
If one of my listeners were to call in the show and say, oh, I'm sitting over here at the Department of Interior and Bureau of Land Management, and they want me to do something like this because we have bureaus all across the country trying to figure out how to manage land better. And and give me three different points that you suggest they'd start off with in trying to make this transition.
Well, one thing, you really got to look at the culture of your employees. You know, social media is social. You can't just build it and they will come. People will want to go there. Don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about this long and lengthy business process and building it out and this architecture. Think a little bit about it, but then throw it up and iterate, you know, thinking about the culture of your organization. The technology is a little important. I mean, having said that, now it takes a lot less time to moderate than a blog because I have this purpose-built software. So
you don't need 10 people. You just need one person.
Exactly. It took a long time to moderate and publish a blog, but this is really easy for us to use.
That's a good question to write down and ask is okay, we're going to collaborate. How much of a human being's time is it going to take to moderate these 3,000 comments that come in?
Yeah.
If it takes too long and all of a sudden 3 weeks, it's too late.
Well, and we have what employees can do that for you. That's the part of the crowdsourcing, right? We moderate the ideas, but employees moderate the comments. The comments are automatically posted, and everybody by now knows the guidelines. And when they see somebody that's, you know, maybe going off the reservation, we'll pull them back. The software, you know, I probably spend about 5 hours a week moderating it. Everything else is more programmatic, working with the software, trying to advocate for the ideas, trying to coach people on what is a good idea and how to write a good idea, that sort of thing, and trying to build out new cases for the software.
Let's jump into the future of social networking. If you look at Google Plus, we just mentioned it maybe in the break, maybe in the last block, but it's gone to 20 million users faster than either Facebook or Twitter. They did that, you know, Facebook and Twitter took 1,000 days. It took, I think, 60 days for Google Plus to get that fast. What kind of changes do you see taking place in the next few years as far as the social, the 2.0 and web and web management goes?
Well, I think we're going to start using these tools more purposefully for management purposes. You know, I mentioned at the beginning, there's your traditional management model about how strategies get created and opportunities get identified and teams get built and activities get coordinated. And, you know, some of the activities we need to do now, it really doesn't matter where you sit. For a while, I had help people moderating this from all around the world. You know, if you can just spare, everybody's got time for other duties as assigned, right? 1 to 5 hours a week is really not that big of a deal. And people can contribute that little bit of microtasking to a larger problem. What Google will tell you is that these technologies enable people to swarm a problem. And that's what we really need. Tough times are ahead. You know, we're going to be a smaller federal government that's going to have to meet the same challenges we always have. So we really need the power of all of our employees front and center solving problems that are before us. And what social media will empower us to do is build teams quicker, get buy-in quicker, get knowledge spread around quicker, get activities coordinated quicker. And that's, I think that's the future.
So someone like you would go ahead and sign up for Google Plus just to test it out and see if it has any value at all.
Absolutely.
Just because it's part of your professional toolkit, you have to be able to pull out that tool.
Yeah.
No, let's try this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right.
All kinds of circles involved in Google Plus. And Dante wrote about the circles of hell, as you well know. And that's the first thing I thought of when talking about different circles. Like, oh, my goodness. I mean, he'd have a field day with it. Maybe in Italy, they're all laughing about this. But people who know a little bit about literature know about these rings and circles. I guess that could be applied somewhat to the sounding board and what levels of information people can give. Is it analogous to that at all, or is that?
Yeah, I think it's analogous. It's overwhelming and it's daunting when you think about the number of resources that are available to give you information. And sometimes we need to simplify that.
One way to simplify it is go to howto.gov and learn more about sharing and creating ideas. You've been listening to Federal Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Carrie O'Connor, who is the program manager for the Sounding Board at the U.S. Department of State. Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Away from your radio? Listen to Federal News Radio directly on your desktop. Click the red Listen Now button near the top of the federalnewsradio.com homepage.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story, News Corp executive James Murdoch might have to testify about